to our next scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. I'm still in the dark. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the access we have to your presence through Christ. We're here to once again search more into the unsearchable riches of Christ. Enable me by your Spirit to open up those riches and present them faithfully, that we'll receive them gratefully. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't think anyone can ever accuse Paul of lacking focus in his life. Even when sticking to his mission and staying on message meant being behind bars, Paul refused to diverge from what he believed God had called him to do. And in today's scripture passage from Ephesians, an imprisoned Paul assumes that his Gentile hearers already know quite a bit about his single-minded devotion to the gospel. They're already familiar with his unwavering concentration in life on what God has accomplished in Christ. Paul calls it the mystery of Christ. The thing is, though, it's a revealed mystery. It's an open secret. And through Jesus, we're told God has unveiled his eternal purpose. He's disclosed what he has been up to all along, namely to bring all things together in Christ. In other words, God's purpose has always been to redeem the world and to bring all things under the reign of Christ. That's the mystery revealed, the secret that's now open, says Paul. And according to Paul, one of the sure signs of this divine plan is the life of the church. Not just the fact that the church exists, but that, as he puts it, it's composed of both Jews and Gentiles. So in a world so divided by different races and ethnicities, this new kind of fellowship called the church, says Paul, made up of people from every nation, integrated into one new community, this is only and only could be the result of God's creative saving power. as Paul puts it in verse 6, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Notice how in his summary of his message, Paul keeps repeating that word, together. The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Jews and non-Jews are members together of one body. They're sharers together in the promise. Where did all this togetherness come from? What makes it happen? What creates this unity? Well, Paul says you can basically trace it all right back to the cross. That's where God removed the barrier of sin that separated humanity from himself, and the barrier of sin that seeks to separate human beings from one another and groups of people from one another. The death of Jesus has torn down this wall, he says, that divided Jews from non-Jews. Jesus' purpose, says Paul, was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. That's a crucial verse there, so listen to it again. The purpose, says Paul, was to create in himself, in Christ, one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So togetherness in the church doesn't come cheap. It comes about, we're told, because of the death of the Messiah. It took the death of the Messiah to restore peace between God and humanity and between human beings and to make a way forward, says Paul. There's no way, really, that we, in our own power and strength, could accomplish the kind of unity that God has brought about through Christ in our scripture passage here today. Unity between himself and us, unity among us as well. If there's going to be that kind of togetherness in the fullest and deepest sense of the word, it will have to be by God's mercy, by God's power, toward God's goal. That's the mystery that has been revealed in Christ. Now, if you follow current political debates, you know that there's a lot of talk and discussion about walls, especially a wall on the border. Who's going to build it? Who's going to pay for it? These kinds of debates. But I think it's helpful for us as God's people living in a world where we still argue about the location of walls and the price of walls, for us to remember that the death of Jesus created the church, we're told, by tearing down walls so that the church could be sort of a preview of a heavenly realm, heavenly world, where walls are no longer an issue, no longer necessary. That's part of why we're assembled here this morning as one people in Christ, to point toward that heavenly kind of realm, that heavenly world. And as we do, we need to remember that the reason that we as a church are together this morning and whenever we're together is because God has put us together. It's not primarily because we've chosen to be with one another or we've made it all happen, but primarily about how God, we're told, has called us and assembled us through Christ. In fact, you probably wouldn't know most of the people who are gathered here with you today and might not be spending this kind of time with them in your life, engaged in these kinds of relationships with them, apart from, we're told, the barrier-breaking power of the gospel to bring people together in Christ. Because left to ourselves, we tend to gravitate toward people who are a lot like us. We tend to want to be with and associate with people who resemble us ethnically, racially, economically, educationally, and so on, other kinds of categories. That can end up leading to congregations that look more like sort of local affinity groups of people who are a lot like one another, hanging out together, instead of this more diverse, integrated body of Christ that Paul says has been accomplished through the cross. One of the most destructive things about the power of sin is its power to separate us. to push us apart, to remove us from one another. Whereas the gospel, by contrast, aims to bring us together, to unite us with God, to unite us with one another in overcoming the power of sin. Wherever there's fragmentation, the good news of Jesus Christ is the bringing of healing. Where there's woundedness, brings healing, wholeness. Wherever there's fragmentation, and I use that word fragmentation because it's one of the adjectives that I hear applied a lot to our culture, our society, to individual people's lives. The world itself is so fragmented with different groups of people and different nations alienated from one another, hostile toward one another, at odds with one another. Our own country is so fragmented by socioeconomic differences, rival ideologies, and differences of opinion on many things. Our families are often fragmented by the demands of daily life and breakdowns in household structures, these kinds of things. The church itself, which God has created to be the very embodiment of unity and reconciliation, is still so fragmented into different denominations, competing fellowships. Our personal lives are fragmented by a sense of stresses from contemporary society, or maybe individual objectives and pursuits. Fragmentation, this sort of broken apartness in our lives individually, in our lives together. Almost everywhere you look, there are so many of us, I think, who feel like our lives just don't hold together the way that God created us to be and intends us to be, individually and in our relationships with one another. It's as if our lives are busted up lots of times in all these little pieces without a sense of wholeness or maybe oneness or of how it's all integrated. Our time is carved up into tiny pieces. Our resources are scattered in all kinds of different directions. Our energy is distributed in so many different directions. Our attention often feels so divided between a little bit of focus on this, a little bit of focus on that, with a sense there's really no focus at all because we're focused on so many different. It begins to feel like our lives are one big experiment in multitasking. Maybe that's something that you seek to be better at in your own life, or that you're really caught up in a lot yourself. We normally think of multitasking as a way really to get more done in our lives, going through your emails while also watching your favorite television show, while also listening to your child, while also responding to a text message, all of that at once. Or maybe listening to your audio Bible in the car, while you're sitting in rush hour traffic, while you're planning what's going to be for dinner that night, while you're praying for that other coworker. All of this one at one time. But according to a group of researchers at Stanford University, our multitasking may not be as productive as we think. The University News Service announced the results of this particular study this way: attention multitaskers, if you can pay attention, that is, your brain may be in trouble. Though the researchers originally set out to discover what gave multitaskers their special focus, the researchers, it says, were surprised to learn that in many ways, multitasking actually impairs performance. So when we think we're effective at juggling multiple tasks, we may actually be pretty lousy at it. The project found that multitaskers are suckers for distraction, irrelevancy. They're also more unorganized in their ability to keep and retrieve information, and even worse at the one thing that defines multitasking, namely being able to switch from one task to the next. And I like the way the article based on the study concluded with this advice: by doing less, you might accomplish more. Now, there's a novel idea. By doing less, you might accomplish more. Now, I don't know if Paul himself would have been considered a multitasker, but I do know that his simple singular attention to the gospel and to the church that it produced accomplished a lot. And the evidence was right there in front of him in these racially and ethnically diverse, these economically mixed congregations of people that had been created by the power of Christ and the cross and the preaching of the gospel. These congregations certainly had a lot more to do when it came to implementing the peace of Christ in their lives individually and together. These were congregations like ours, congregations that were fragmented, congregations that were full of fragmented people in all kinds of ways. In their own ways, these were people who were seeking probably some kind of assurance, some kind of centeredness, some kind of wholeness, some kind of sense that hostile forces and spiritual powers weren't going to separate them from the Father or separate them from one another. Maybe some of our own feelings of being fragmented come from our own sense that our lives are vulnerable to forces and powers and kinds of things that can threaten to sort of undo us, pull us apart from God, from one another, just sort of fragment us. That's why we need to keep before us Paul's God-given vision of what God has done in the cross of Christ and what the church is all about in its life and its purpose. Remember that we are called by God in Christ to be part of a diverse fellowship that's created to live as if this present world, with all of its division and all of its fragmentation, has already come to an end in Christ. As one person's put it, the church is, quote, supposed to picture to the world what a heavenly family looks like on earth now. Picture to the world what a heavenly family looks like on earth now. And as we do that within the life of the church, we can be sort of a sneak preview to the world of what God has done in Christ, what the gospel can accomplish, and how God can take what's fragmented, broken apart, divided, torn apart, pulled apart, and put it back together the way that God intends it to be in Christ. I believe that's one of the reasons that we come together here for worship on Sundays, is because we experience in the life and the work of our congregation here on Sundays and on many other occasions in between, we experience and meet a God who is somehow able to take our lives in all these pieces and put them back together and hold them together, and hold us together by putting us together in Christ. A few years ago, in a piece on the importance of spiritual disciplines, a man named Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove wrote about two deep desires that he hears regularly expressed among Christians in America. One of them, he says, is this desire for justice. In other words, the kind of justice that makes for true peace in the world. And the other one he summarized this way: we long for a community where we know we belong, stretched by fast-paced work, a high-tech social life, and a constant flood of information. Americans feel fragmented and alone. We ache for home. Listen to some of those characteristics. Stretched by fast-paced work, a high-tech social life, and a constant flood of information, Americans feel fragmented and alone. Fragmented and alone. In Christ, we're told, God has acted to restore what was broken, to heal what was torn, to unite what's divided within ourselves as individuals and among us as individual people, as people together by taking our individual lives and uniting them with the lives of others to form our church, which is part of why we've come together here on another Lord's Day to implement even more of that peace of Christ, we're told, that's already accomplished in the cross and can be operative in our lives even now, individually and in our life together as church. That's part of why we prepare to gather here today at the Lord's table, because it is a place of remembrance. And I want to adjust that word remembrance a little bit. We do remember, not only in the sense of recalling the past, what God has already accomplished in the cross, but we also remember in the sense of remembering. In other words, taking all the bits and pieces of our lives, all the members, pieces of our daily existence, and trusting God somehow in Christ to put us back together, to remember us individually as people and as His church. That's part of what we gather here to do today at the Lord's table, to remember, to have God take us and put us back together as individuals, and to put us back together as His people, put us back together as a unified people. And I think that's really where our fragmented lives in so many ways find wholeness, find home in Christ. Let's pray. God, our Father, who has removed the barrier of sin between yourself and us, and the barrier of sin between each of us, we praise you for what you have accomplished in the cross of Christ. We know that we're still growing into that peace and learning how to implement it in our lives, individually and as a church. And so we come back together here today, and we know we not so much come back together. You've brought us together. You're the one who puts us back together individually and as a congregation. Thank you for that. As we come here to the table, we want to remember, but we also want you to take us and remember us, reassemble us into a wholeness that we're all seeking and that is only available, we know, in Christ and His cross. Thank you for the access to your presence that we all have through Him. We just pray in His name now. Amen.